This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Challenge, Spies, Lies, and Alias. We're wrapping up podcast for episode 13. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, my co-host, Alice. How are you?
That was a real long hold. You know, last week I almost said something, and I was like, no. Are you, like, counting Mississippi's? That was a long one.
I'm going to keep extending it for every week that Nelson loses, and then eventually the entire podcast will just be me dragging out the how.
Let's not bury the lead. Challenge statistics, Twitter. What is it again?
Challenge stats.
So I'm an ancient person. The youth would say challenge stats. Yep. It's blowing up at your hands.
Blowing up. I feel like a proud papa. I was saying, we hung out again last night.
I like it when you call me proud papa. We should get fired.
we're friends again because we're hanging out again last night. And I said to you, I want them to be the official MTV like analytics account. And I hope they grow up to be that. And I would be so honored.
Have no recollection of you saying that. I remember seeing you and talking about it. But hold on. What's your like statute of limitations for being friends? Like, I have to see you every week and then we're not friends again. And then now we're friends again.
Well, I just felt like we're establishing the friendship. It's been established.
Can I ask an exhausting question?
Oh, boy. Early 30 seconds in.
So yesterday we had great. So we went to Survivor Fantasy Camp hosted by Jordan Kalish, and Dr. Amanda was there and JCR was there. The great winners and losers of Survivor Philadelphia were there. And it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of new energy. And as I told the Survivor Philadelphia people, like, oh, you got go off Survivor Philadelphia. Like, they were really into it. It was very fun.
I got strongly negged by one of them.
Who negged you?
The winner of Brooklyn.
What were you negged about?
So she was like, oh, your podcast is so great. It's I really enjoy it. Like, you have a great dynamic with Allie. She is so funny. And you're funny too. But it was like an awkward pause in between where she couldn't come up with a different adjective.
Is it negged or is it the best you can hope for, you know? No, I'm just kidding. As you said, come for me, stay for you. I think that was so accurate. Right. Tolerate me later.
Exactly.
I took another bite. I told you I wasn't going to eat. I'm putting the food away. Okay. I'm putting it away.
So what's the exhaustive question? I'm on the edge of my seat.
Like, so I do shtick that's like, people were like, oh, you and Brian didn't know each other. Are you friends? How do you know each other? And I put you through the stuff I put Akiva through. And I'm not suggesting that you would care that I'm like, friends is a harsh word. Like, we know. Mm-hmm. But does it get old?
Does it get old? I don't think so.
Not yet.
Not yet. I haven't reached that level. It's part of our repartee. Is that the word? I don't know. It fits.
So do you think everyone in my life thinks it's just like a me and them thing?
That's more extra-testual. What's the psychology word?
Extra-testual? Well, speaking of extra-testual, let's talk about Bettina. We have some old business to talk about.
Bettina?
Well,
why are we talking about art?
Because Bettina revealed that, like many women before her, she left the challenge. She was like, I was strong and I was ready and I found myself being tired and I know what's going on. And she left the challenge and found out that she was, 15 weeks pregnant?
Yep. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I, it's what is MTV doing? Like, how is there? How have they not been like viciously lawsuit there? Like there has to be. Like how are they not? How is this not part of their standard program? I feel like we go through this every year now. Something horrible is going to happen.
It's so crazy, right? Because like you can be pregnant and not have a pregnancy test show up positive. So, but like, I don't know. You know what's crazy is like, let's reevaluate our lives when our like Twitter DMs blow up when someone reveals they were pregnant. Like, I had to step back and be like, once again, how am I spending my free time? That like someone's like, oh, I was 15 weeks pregnant when I was on the show and my DMs blow up. Like, I have no relationship to her. But good not to be Josh and make it about me.
Well, like, good for her. I mean, she did great on the show. I think so. And I mean, it's crazy that MTV's. I mean, it's happened last season or two seasons ago. I don't remember who it was, but there was someone
Natalie.
Like Natalie, yeah.
And it's happened many times. It happened with Mel. You know, but again, like, do I want to advocate that people like screen pregnant women out of things? Like, you know,
well, I mean,
I don't know where we're supposed
to challenge. I think that's a fair line to draw. I feel like for all parties involved, I think it's fair to.
We're not parties involved, actually.
Well, not us. I bet MTV and the women.
Oh, I thought you meant we're all parties involved. Like we can win. I was like, I don't know that that's true.
No, the women that may be pregnant. And the show, I feel like that's fair. They'll be like, if you're pregnant, you probably shouldn't, you know, be jumping, you know, 100 feet in the water and, you know, doing marathons, basically. It's probably not safe. But I don't know. What do I know?
Speaking of moms, Brian. Now, I'm not bringing up Plainview Sue. I wish I had something to say about it. But so we've talked about Amanda this season a lot. This has been definitely a different season for Amanda. Mari, I think, really came in and was like, I want Amanda to win this season. The edit's been one of the strongest Amanda edits ever. And not like a winner's edit, just like that she's likable.
Yep.
This season, I mean, this episode was a real turning point, I think, in that it's almost like Amanda became Amber was the Amber, then she was gone. Then Bettina became the Amber, and now Bettina's gone. And here comes Amanda, where suddenly she's the weakest person and everyone hates her.
Yeah, that was stunning. If this was a moment from like the first couple episodes, it would be so much more understandable because this was kind of her reputation coming in, that she's, you know, could be cancerous to a team, that she's tough to get along with. She's not the strongest competitor. But I really thought all of that was really swept away with her performance this season. And it was stunning to hear Nelson, Corey, like CT, like everyone just pile on her as if she's like this horrific competitor in person. And It was truly stunning because it's very contrary to what the show has been, as you said, showing her to be.
I like this season. Apparently, I stand alone. Mel got the great at Mel Got Served texted me after last week's episode and was like, she does great clubhouse conversations every week. And like everyone's been negative about the season. We stand on the more positive side. Man, I don't speak for you, but I feel like generally of the season. We have to be seeing. Oh, sorry. We have to. No, that was a very dramatic, like so dramatic.
I thought you were waiting for me to confirm that I was positive.
We have to be seeing the rationale for the vitriol to the contestants. Like, that's my major complaint of the season so far. The uneven teams, no one's targeting CT. We'll get to that because we'll get to that every week. But if you're going to show us a new villain every three episodes, I need to see the origin story. I can't be rooting for this person and then suddenly everyone in the house is shitting on them.
And like, was this just supposed to be like a precursor to her performance in the daily? Because I don't know, like we got varying sides of like how much she was supposed to do and stuff like that. And I came out of it more on Amanda's side than even before, that I felt even more so that people are just, you know, tossing her aside and not expecting much from her. And I love that she was like, you know, screw these people, I'm just gonna Titanic on the buoy. So if this was all supposed to just set up for Amanda being horrible because how she did in the daily, like they did a bad job of that too.
I totally agree. If anything, the edit justifies how she performed in the daily. So maybe we're setting up for a more long-term story, not in the tradition of the challenge, but who knows. Editing has changed a lot this season on reality TV in general,
right?
But yeah, I totally agree. I was completely on Amanda's side this entire time. I was confused by the hate towards her. And to your point with the daily, not only do I need to see the lead up or the rationale to people disliking her, but my recollection is we got the story from her side, which is she's basically told to like make sure the rope doesn't get tangled. And mm-hmm. so she's like, all right, I'll listen to my team. If you want us to sympathize with Nelson later, show us what was actually said to her. And maybe it was taken out of context, or maybe she really did like throw the challenge or take too much leeway or take too much offense to what was said. But we didn't get to see what was really said, right?
No, all we saw was, like you said, Amanda being told just like step aside and don't get in the way. She didn't get in the way, and she was yelled for not getting in the way, I guess, basically. It was very bizarre in the club, the same fight about Amanda, you don't even care, you're not even trying. It was very bizarre. I don't know. Maybe they didn't show it because it really never happened. Like Amanda's side was the truth, that she was just told just to not get in the way. So she's like, screw this. What am I going to like go the extra mile for?
All right. Well, we're Team Amanda. We side with Mari still. No surprise. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is like the closest Amanda's going to get to a winner's edit, in that everyone in the house hates her, and yet the edit is such that we side with her.
I guess so. Yeah. And if the winner's edit is Amanda's, you know, hero turn for the fans, then I'm here for that. Screw the show.
I did like this like chill moment we got, although it was a big indication that nothing was going to happen this episode, where we get CT in, you know, not to flatter myself, but saying in the way that I would say it, saying the way that someone from Jersey might say, like, I know my way around the grill, okay? Like, it was very like, okay, CT, I know you know your way around the grill. Like, I was like, that's me at a grill. And yep, I was
that's
like,
oh, CT.
Just when
he knows his grill.
Just when we're over CT, here comes CT again with his little, like, cocks his head to the side, his little New England bit. But we learned a lot about Emmanuel and his traditions.
Yes. I like that it was. So there, sometimes you see these scenes when they're, like, kind of teasing someone about, like, oh, what are you, like, what was CT's line? Like, you're going to stomp over, like, a cow and, like, eat him straight or something like that. Sometimes when they're poking fun like that, I worry that it's going to like reach a level of like kind of not bullying, but like when you're making fun of someone's like culture, and it's going to get like weird and like not like, you know, it's tough to enjoy. I'm glad I don't think it got to that, or if it didn't show it, like it was like more playful teasing of him and not like racially teasing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we're definitely anti-racially teasing. I think like, no, I totally get your point. And I think part of it comes with like, Emmanuel has made really strong relationships with these vets. Like, even this whole episode, part of what I was thinking is, like, they're talking like Logan is the only vet left in the game, and yet Emmy and Emmanuel have just, like, completely integrated into this, like, veteran alliance. So it's not... And of course, like, Emmanuel can speak for himself if he was offended. It seemed like he was enjoying the conversation and talking about his culture. Like, they're friends. Like, they've been friends for a long time. I mean, we later see this great conversation in Spanish with Josh and Logan, which we'll talk about. Yep. And it's like, these veterans, the three of them, have so deeply infiltrated the Vet Alliance. It's kind of amazing.
I mean, and the thing is, that's usually what we see at a certain point. Like, usually after, like, 4, 5, 6 episodes, whichever rookies are left, usually are eventually ingratiated into the vets, and they have a couple of people that they're friends with, and it's not so obvious just to go after them because they're rookies. This is a pretty rare season where like the rookie thing is really kept through all the way this far, because there just were so many of them that there were just so many options to keep having them tossed in for the first time. So normally this is what we see. It's just rare because there were just so many rookies to get out that these are like the last couple remaining to kind of infiltrate.
No segue here, and having nothing to do with what we're talking about, but when is the last time you've played beer pong?
It probably happens, I would say, like 4 or 5 times a year. We're usually in the summer, I feel like, you know, summer house, something like that.
Well, so when's the last time you've played beer pong?
I would say 3 months ago, 2 months ago.
Oh, that's pretty, frequent. I feel like I used to play a ton. I feel like I haven't played in a while. Maybe this grill and chill moment like made me really want to like kind of jump through my screen.
Just to join the fun. Look like a fun vibe.
It looks like a great time. Like maybe it's that what you're saying, like the veterans have reached the rookies have sort of reached that natural point where they're just sort of involved. or the veterans have really worked together in a way that they haven't in the past few seasons. There aren't these like major divides, two sides of the house. It's sort of like this one amoeba eating mm-hmm. itself slowly. And maybe that makes for more fun vibes. I don't know. This just seemed very like a good time.
Well, this kind of points to what we've wanted. Like, I think the reason why we haven't seen this type of stuff in the last few seasons is just because they were stuck in dark dungeons for so long that you're not going to have this nice vibe of playing beer pong, grilling outside in a pool. You know, last couple seasons, you're, you know, fighting over a slice of salami while the lights go out. So this, you know, adds more fun.
Feed people on Survivor and put MTV Challengers in a mansion. Totally agree. Rubber stamp that. And people don't at me about how that's part of the game of Survivor. I don't care. Let's talk about this Tori Emanuel hanky panky that's been sort of being led up to and then was sort of a little bit brushed off in the actual episode.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess this is, I mean, we've seen them kiss before. I don't think this is their first.
We've kiss? Seen them kiss before.
So
pushes
I don't
glasses
know.
Up to eyes.
I mean, yeah, good for them, I guess. It's again, I'm still waiting for the Jordan Emanuel comparison. I guess we're never going to get it. But, you know, good for them to be happy and like, not in love and like.
I'm picturing you with the little tiny Blue's Clues big spiral notebook with a crayon being like, they've kissed at like 1800 hours.
Should we ask, was it Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper for their help along the journey?
I thought you were going to say Mr. Picard, if he could be tracking them. But I think when we, it's a very different job.
What was the kid's name? What was the baby Cinnamon? Was that their baby?
Oh, yeah, probably. You have nieces and nephews. You can deal with that with them.
Yeah. That was a sad video when like the old Steve came back and was like, oh, you know,
he
you
was
got
not
through
replaced.
College, you're working.
He remains Steve. Steve was replaced with Joe. There's no old Steve.
Oh the, no old the guy's Steve name was Steve. Changed? Oh, I thought it was still Steve. I thought it was just a different Steve.
Okay. Bluska, dude. We can do. Let's move on. Shout out to Matt Liguori. All right. Let's talk about this conversation in Spanish, because a lot of things that, you know, the Survivor Diversity campaign did a ton of work to get CBS to that 50% diversity pledge. And we saw play out and make history on Big Brother. And we're seeing, honestly, I'm going to say it when I'm on the BNB this week, one of the best casts, if not the best cast in modern Survivor, if not ever, this season. And the challenge, for all of its flaws, which we have acknowledged and continuing to acknowledge, and they continue to be flaws, MTV's The Challenge has always sort of been ahead of the game in terms of representation and diversity. I thought to have an international cast for the last few years and to have this conversation between Josh and Logan, who is from Spain, and Josh, who's from the U.S., have a conversation in Spanish that they fully subtitle and fully makes air. Mm-hmm. Was awesome.
It was great. It was a great side of Josh to see kind of maybe his normal self, not being so over the top and theatrical and really connecting with someone and seeing people form bonds just outside of them just being vets or because of what show they're on or something like that. It was nice to see natural bonds being formed by two people from like sort of different walks of life or really similar walks of life come together. So yeah, it was super cool and it was great. It was a very likable one from Josh. Logan's been kind of like a star all season long. He's been so enjoyable. I'm glad he's sticking around. I'm glad the hamstring is healing well, that he's able to do his thing. So it was very fun to see them kind of embrace themselves.
It was also, you know, I have not been thinking about it from the international players' perspectives of like, this is their second language or third or whatever language. And Josh acknowledges that in the conversation. And then we, the audience, are put in the position of like, maybe what it's like, and as a small percentage of what it might be like, where we're reading the subtitles, we're there, but we're not fully there, right? Because they're having a conversation in a language that we might not speak, or, you know, some I don't speak. So I thought that was like, and to have a conversation about that takes place in Spanish, it was a very interesting thing. I was like, oh my God, how have we not been talking about this every week? That like Emmy, Emmanuel, Logan, like they're having to keep up with the strategy, with the rules of the challenges, like in a language that's not their language. So I thought that was really great. I agree with you about Josh. And to give Josh some strategic credit, like and Logan by certain, like, to have this bond over a shared language and a shared culture is important. And it to get that scene explained sort of later, maybe it explains, maybe it doesn't, but it helps explain why Josh later chooses loyalty to Logan over Corey. Where if we didn't get this moment, we'd sort of be like, Josh is, I mean, who knows what we would say about him? Probably not nothing good. We don't have a great history of defending him.
Yeah, and no matter what language you talk about, it always ends with, so what are you going to do with the money? And Logan wants to do get a surfboard. Pretty realistic.
That's what's also as cool about it, is it wasn't this like big dramatic conversation of like, I'm othered or I'm there. It was like just two people having a conversation in Spanish and just like, we, you know, whatever. So I thought that was really cool. I hope he gets his surfboard. I think his per diem, not her, his per diem, but whatever he's getting paid to be on the show is probably enough for a surfboard. Although I've never been in the market for one, shockingly.
No. Like, yeah, I can't. I think they would probably cover, what, like $2,000 for like a good one should probably cover it.
Let's see. Surfboard price. This is science.
Sure, this is probably cheaper. I feel like $2,000 is probably a good one.
I was going to say, like, everything I'm seeing is less than $1,000, but that's probably average price is between $380 and $1,000. So I think he's got it.
I think so.
But it's very Nelson of him. He's like, I'm not here for the money. I'm here because, like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
And then Nelson and Corey go the other way, and they want to target Josh. They want to get him out. Corey doesn't trust him. They want him out. Corey's still feeling the sting of when the bets turned on him, and their one time the bets had to turn on each other.
I mean, fair enough. Like, he's got the right read on him, right? Because he's looking around, and it's like a numbers game. He's like, he's not going to call out CT. He's not going to call out Logan. He's not going to call out Kyle. And then it's me. So... yeah. It's not even personal. It's like it's a small number of people.
So, good question from Neil. Hold the questions. I'm actually going to read one. He asked, to what extent are Corey and Nelson to blame for their own lack of control this season for alienating people like Amanda and Ashley, who should be their allies? Or was this season a lost cause for them since they don't have as many ins with the Big Brother crew?
So, is the question... does it go all the way back to the Berna Ashley situation? Like, right. Like, where, when did Corey and Nelson alienate Ashley and Amanda? Cause I think it really is just the Berna of it all. Right.
It was probably some of that. It was probably Amanda and Ashley just going with the winds of the votes. Right. I feel like they would have sided more with Corey and Nelson if they were more in control, but the fact that they feuded with Big Brother instead of being like Devin and sided with them, like that should have, like, the Devin spot should have been like the Corey spot. Like, Corey should have made peace with Josh and be like, let's work together, let's get to the end together. Said it was Devin.
It also goes back to Fessy, right? I think there's this rub between Nelson and Fessy that did not heal this season necessarily. The Josh Fessy, you know, if you can't count on Fessy to bring in Josh, because who could have predicted that Josh and Fessy would feud such that Fessy would be eliminated from the show? I mean, I don't think anybody could have predicted that. So I do think it's a rough draw for Nelson, and particularly Corey, but definitely for Nelson and Corey this season. I don't know that I blame them. I think a lot of chips fell in places they couldn't have predicted, including Devin and Josh locking in loyalties, right? If they came in enemies as they typically do, there would have been a bigger, like, open playing field.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, maybe they really should have. They should have pulled the plug on the Vet Alliance earlier, right? And collected some of the rookies and fired the shots if they could sense that where they stood was more at the bottom of everyone. They had to know it was going to be turning eventually on each other, so turn on them first and grab some of the rookies along the way.
And part of it is like, maybe Nelson's a little bit punished, right? Because it's in the same way Big T is. Corey. If you're someone who gets along with rookies and vibes, like Josh and Logan, let's say, a target gets put on you. Like, I don't think Corey was necessarily, like, wrangling this crew of Misfit Toys and Priscilla and Jeremiah, but I think he naturally had a friendship with them. Mm-hmm. And so then vets are going to look at you like, oh, you're friends with them now. And that's what happened to Big T early on. But I think because people don't view her as a threat, they sort of like put their attention elsewhere. And so in a way it kind of hurts you to just like have rookies show up that you randomly connect with.
Yeah. And at least you can't make it so obvious early on. Like here, Josh, obviously Josh is bonding with Logan, but you know, it's much later on. It's not as much of a thing to do it with so many of them left and the tensions were higher. So it's all, you know, picking your spots and maybe being more subtle about it.
I did laugh at when Big T's eating like a donut and Emerald's bullying them and Corey comes up and I thought he was going to defend her. And he's just like, breakfast of losers. Like smashes the, no one should shame anyone for eating, but seems like it was all in good fun and they were having a good time.
Anything else before the daily?
Literally, no, because this was like the earliest. I looked this up. Mm-hmm. It clocks in at 10 minutes into the episode. It was like before the first commercial. We're already at the challenge.
Ooh, it's Ally stats. Ally stats time.
Well, I was watching it online. It's like, don't audit me. I don't care.
Daily this week, Sunken Intelligence. Each team had to swim out and untangle 150 feet of rope and collect a gem that was in a lockbox underwater, swim it back to shore, and you know, stop the detonation.
What did you think of this challenge?
So it was good-ish. Not one of the better team ones, not like a disaster, but it just points to, again, you know, Emerald seemingly struggled, but just having that extra person or two. I mean, it just having an extra person to do something, like, helps a lot. Obviously, like, they didn't push someone aside, like was done to Amanda, so kudos to them. But just having an extra body to, you know, move an extra 20 feet of water or 20 feet of rope or push the crate a little bit more, it helps. So I don't know why they can't just sit someone out. It's, I don't know, crazy.
Yeah, this challenge could miss me, if we're being honest. Like, I feel like they were on the right track, and then it was a little bit of a dip this week. It did not read on television. I know we had CT being like, oh, I know this is hard. Lifting that rope is hard. We've seen him do it with, like, you know, was he against Darrell? Why am I even trying to put this out there? In, like, the tie the ropes, pull the ropes, make the knots kind of challenge. I don't think it reads underwater. I was very bored watching this. It has a boring outcome, but right. Yeah. Regardless of the outcome, I just think this didn't work.
Yeah, it was kind of tough to tell exactly who was doing well. Like this was one where I feel like they could have just had everyone go at the same time and just whoever comes back wins. Like, I feel like that would have been much more entertaining. It would have been much more dramatic. It would have been easier to tell who was doing well. Like, it seemed like Emerald was struggling a lot, but they still ended up winning. So what the hell do we know? But other than that, yeah, there wasn't that much to come of it other than, like, you know, Amanda doing the Titanic thing that we already discussed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the thing is, I'm in this, like, group chat that talks about Survivor and sometimes talks about the challenge. And someone was saying, like, oh, it's so annoying how they don't sit people out. And I was like, yeah, I've been pounding that drum. We agree. And then someone was saying, well, the next challenge should be like an advantage if you're a smaller team. Like, I know we discussed that with the final, but maybe like daily should oscillate between what's the advantage. But I think at the time I was like, oh, interesting. I totally disagree because I don't think the team with more people should ever be punished. I think the reward should be, and I've said it a million times, I'm going to say it every week until it stops mattering. The advantage of winning and having more people is that you get to choose based on the skill set who sits out. You should never be punished for it, but you shouldn't be rewarded for it more than that. And I don't know that I'm going to like a challenge until it's equalized again.
Or even they could easily do something like, I feel like they did this earlier in the season where it was like two layers to a challenge, where instead of like in this one, why not just announce that two people swim out and the rest of them solve a puzzle? So like that, it allows more even, like the team with the more people have extra people to help with the puzzle, but sometimes that can hurt, sometimes it can help, but you still have even people doing the more like physical part of it to help balance it. Why can't they just do something like that?
We'll be talking about this until the finale, I'm sure. But as you said, really nothing to talk about with the challenge other than that Emerald wins and boom, the first names out of Devin's mouth are inexplicably Logan and Corey and not CT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very odd. I mean, Nani said it best later on in the deliberation that he just, you know, he's gotten in with everyone. And I think that just has to be it. So it's like either it's two ends of the spectrum. Either CT is playing maybe the greatest social game in the history of reality TV, or these people are the stupidest people in reality TV. And I'm not entirely sure where a middle ground would sit.
I think Devin, of all people, has been playing the cleanest veterans, support veterans game. So while I think it's idiotic, I get that he's like just straight, like he was jockeying for Logan to go in like that. He has sort of never faltered on that. Don't at me if he voted. I don't care. But like he just seems like the biggest proponent of it.
Well, I think he caved. I'm pretty sure he caved the voting Corey here.
No, here, but I meant before this.
Yeah.
Like if I'm looking at all of their motivations.
Well, the one time Corey was voted in, like there had to be a vet. So like there had, I think that was one where there was no vets, no rookies straight up available. So there's no fault.
So Devin, I think, has been playing. He's been pounding the drum from the beginning. Josh is an emotional player and has made this genuine emotional connection with Logan. I don't know that Josh really plays to win the game. I think Josh plays to continue to go back to make a career out of it. And you know what? I don't hate that for Josh. I think that's a fine way to play. So I don't think CT bothers him in the game because he's not thinking he's ever going to win anyway.
I don't know. That's my
read. That's my subconscious read of like, he prioritizes emotional relationships, so such that he thinks he has a relationship with CT or wants approval from CT or whatever else. He's not completely eyes on the prize win. And he shouldn't be because his win potential is not that high. You can at me. I don't care. Emmanuel, I think, has the hubris to think that he can beat anyone. Because he was like at the top of the top. He's with Casey. He's now with this winning team. He doesn't know what it feels like to lose, at least on the challenge. I don't know about his past show. And I just think it's the worst possible team to be making these decisions when it comes to potentially getting rid of CT. Because for varying reasons, they're not appreciating the threat that CT is to their game, or that's not what their game is, so they don't care. That's the only way I can rationalize. I'm not saying it's 100% right. That's my read.
The only thing I thought of from like, at least from the guy's perspective, was, are they concerned if you vote in CT, despite them, like he will definitely swap with you, and then you'll put yourself in a worse team like Devin or Josh. But I feel like CT wouldn't swap. I think he has his girl Emmy that he really came up with this whole scheme to work with. I think he likes having Ashley there. I think he might look over at Emerald and see some people he might not necessarily want on his team, like a Devin or a Josh, whoever he doesn't swap with. So I don't think he would go anywhere. So I think if they have a fear of someone swapping, CT with a perfect person to vote in, because I don't think he would swap. And then for the girl's perspective, obviously then there's the worst case scenario in their mind is he swaps, but obviously that gets their team a lot better. So the only other thing for the girls is I've seen people float around that they think they're planning it to go back to pairs and they're all hoping to be paired with CT in the final, but that feels like a stretch, not a stretch because it's certainly possible, but that feels like a couple extra layers to bake into your planning and just not to just get him out.
It's also especially strange because Tori's the one who throws out CT, right? In this Emerald conversation, The only person who mentions CT, of course, this is an edit, so this is what we see, is Tori. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not even the men bringing up CT. Devin is targeting Logan. Josh is targeting Corey to protect Logan. And mm-hmm. Tori's like, well, what about CT? And then there's no more discussion.
Yeah, and I think, I know to your point that if maybe this group of Emerald wouldn't do it, but I think at this point, because they've been firing shots at different people, I think even if, like, Ruby wins, like, I think Nelson is going to try to avenge Corey and go after someone from Emerald. I don't think he would take a shot at CT. So I think, and then obviously if CT sim wins, he can't go in. So I think he's in a great spot no matter what. I mean, obviously now there's only a couple guys left, so he might just have to go in by default. But I think even if the next guys around Emerald wins, I think it'll be Nelson probably voted in and he'll call out Logan. So I think CT's safe again.
Devin, Josh, and Emmanuel deserve to lose at the hands of CT. When mm-hmm. you are putting someone in and you know that you are safe and won't have to go against them, and you see what a deficit the other team is between you and them of, like, in terms of winning potential, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. Like, it is the mm-hmm. most bizarre thing. You've been saying it every single week. We've been saying it every single week. It just, they deserve to lose. Now I am rooting for CT because they deserve to lose.
Yeah, like, the point you made last week was, you know, you don't want to see Emerald, like, lose, like, not lose a final. You don't want to see them be disadvantaged in the final after winning, and then they get screwed. And now, after this week, I like you just said, I have absolutely zero sympathy for them. This was the most clear-cut, 100%, there should have been a 0.0 discussion at this deliberation. They should have looked at each other and said, okay, we have CT, and he has to go up against either Corey, Nelson, or Logan. Three pretty viable competitors that could potentially knock him out in some level of an elimination. This is the perfect time to do it. We have to do it. And they did. I don't think they gave it a second thought. I think, like you said, I think that was all for camera work that he was even tossed out. I don't think he was even a remote consideration. And it is just astronomically stupid.
Now, it could be the remnants of this, like, aquamarine alliance that blew it. Everyone have this alliance. Idiots. Like, stop mm-hmm. allying with the best player in the game. You're a moron. Like, right. And you're the one winning. You don't even need them. It's not a meat shield. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The only thing, and I think we said this last week, is, like, when you have someone like Logan, who would normally be considered a strong player, who's injured, and we're sort of unclear how injured he remains this episode, maybe they think there's still sort of a layup to be had where, okay, if I vote CT in, he's going to call out Logan and will 1,000% beat Logan because he's injured. I mean, we saw what happened this week, but maybe, but take the shot. Like, he can't get mad at all of you. And you know what? He can't win on his own. You've been winning every single challenge. Like,
yeah. And what we've seen from the other people involved, CT, Corey, Nelson, we've seen Corey Nelson win a lot of eliminations and lose a lot of finals. And we've seen CT lose a lot of eliminations and win a lot of finals. So if you want to beat CT, the best chance is put him into elimination. This is where he is by far the most vulnerable. I think he easily could have lost this one to
100%.
Logan, anyone, he could have easily lost this one. You could have, I mean, these are like three of the, like, I guess, like you said, Logan maybe didn't, they weren't sure how strong he is, but I mean, you have to take your chance here. There's just no good rationale against it.
And I'm totally with you, but just to play devil's advocate, like, the agency has to make a decision before seeing the elimination. And so if you're putting any of these guys up against CT in a physical headbanger elimination, you assume they're losing.
I don't know. I mean, Logan's a big dude. Logan's big. Nelson's big.
Logan's big. He
reads tall. He reads like he's like 6'4".
But tall isn't always great for like a headbanger elimination. For something like Pole Russell, for sure, right? That's Kyle has mm-hmm. that unlocked. But I just think you favor CT in a purely physical. Sure. I'm not saying he's unbeatable. I'm definitely not saying he's unbeatable.
Yeah.
I think you favor him. But if you were to go, if like the agency were to go to the lair and see this and how it was like clearly not purely just like man on man physical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that, but like, you're not at risk, so throw him in. It's like such bullshit mm-hmm. at this point.
It's crazy. It's just crazy. He's not gonna see one elimination, this dude. Coming off a win, I think he's won 2 or 3. Like, it's, oh my god, stupid. I like CT. I would be happy if he went again. I like him, but make him earn it.
Speaking of stupid, we get the club scene. First of all, the Corey Bucket hat at this point is taunting me. Like, he's got to wear it every single week, whatever. Emerald's plant. Okay. I'm starting to worry about Emerald. Emerald, are you okay? Like, it's not that, and maybe I'm just ignorant again. Maybe they know it's going to be teams in the final, or maybe they just believe it's going to be teams in the final. I don't believe it's going to be teams in the final. I've been wrong a million times. I'll be wrong again. But, like, the fact that they are more loyal to the team than they are to themselves is wild to me, such that their plan is, if we get infiltrated, the person who gets bumped off has to throw the mission and then go into the elimination to get back to a team with Josh and Devin and Nani. Where am I?
Right. That was, to me, this was, I think that was that Devin's, he brought that idea up.
They all agreed.
Yeah. But I think this was, like, I think for Devin, it makes sense to keep this team morale. Like, I think he knows he can't win a final in, like, a small group. He needs as much help as he possibly can get to, like, carry the logs and do all this other physical stuff that he can't really be the muscle behind. So he knows he needs a big team. So I think he is trying his darndest. And I think, as opposed to maybe Josh, I think he really does want to win this. So he knows this is his best chance to win of keeping this group together. So I think if he was the one that was swapped out, there is no way he's, like, voluntarily going to elimination, or because I think he would know he would lose. He just wants to try to keep this core together as much as possible and try to keep that, like, let's just do whatever we can, desperately try to keep this team together because he knows this is his best chance to win.
I should make a clarification. I don't think that Josh doesn't want to win. I just think that his priorities justifiably are camera time, theater, characterization, and if he wins, amazing. But I just, like, that's, you know.
Right.
YOLO.
Right. Yeah, then Amanda, this is again Amanda being blamed, and then very, very funny edit cutaway, edit being like, look at Emerald, and then they're doing, like, I'm sure it wasn't happening at that exact moment, but they're doing, like, a very funny, like, team pose, like, for, you know, Little League or something. A very funny cutaway.
I miss that. I never miss anything. So strange. All right, well, let's talk about the deliberation, because I know you're hoping for a divided vote, and this seemed like maybe they were undecided going in, but then I think they were all decided.
Yeah, so I do think they all voted together, but I was surprised that seemingly Josh got his way, and, you know, kudos to Josh for manipulating and getting, I mean, obviously it doesn't matter because his guy was voted in anyway, but showing he's still got, like, some strategic prowess and got this group to go against the vet instead of the other rookie. I thought that was pretty impressive that Josh got his way.
Yeah, no, Josh certainly has a ton of social capital, particularly on his team. He's got Devin who's with him, Nani who's with him, Casey who's with him, and that's four, you know? And not to say that Tori and Emmanuel aren't. I think Tori's very close to them also, but he's got his core four who's probably going to vote with him rather than against him. Emmanuel's probably interested in keeping Logan because of the rookie situation. So yeah, not to take anything away from Josh. But as far as Josh salvaging his relationship with Corey, and look, Corey's stock is plummeting by the second, so maybe it doesn't matter to save your relationship with Corey. But I was kind of confused why they didn't do to Logan what they did to Emmy last week, which is, like, you are going in. If we put in Nelson, CT, or Corey, they're going to pick you. So why not put you in and you get to pick? Unless they did do that and Nelson and Logan was like, I'd rather go against Corey, but in the off chance that Corey takes a shot at Kyle or CT, put him in instead?
I guess they could have done that.
Who wasn't picking Logan if they got put in?
Right. I think seemingly everyone would have picked Logan. So what do they gain out of that?
Well, they gain Corey not being pissed and him flying off the handle like he did, right? They convince Logan, you want to go in so that you could pick your own partner. Just like the Emmy situation. You avoid someone being angry at you for putting you in.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think I guess they were hoping that Corey, like, would go after CT, I guess. I don't know. It was pretty unlikely, but maybe
No, they knew he was picking. They knew everyone was picking Logan.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, maybe they just didn't really care to make Corey pissed. Like, screw it. We voted him in once, so he's already pissed. We'll vote him in again.
Totally fair. And look, I was kind of disappointed in Corey. I think if he stayed, he wasn't going to do what he said he was going to do. Of like, I'm going to infiltrate Emerald, destroy them from the inside. Like, he was definitely emotional, and I don't blame him, but there's no way you're going to tank your entire game to just get petty revenge on these dweebs.
I mean, we love a petty king, but that would be next level petty to just do that out of pure spite to throw. I mean, I guess not really throw away your chances of winning because he would try to win the elimination, but it would be a wild move to do that. I really wish we could have seen it play out.
Not if you're taking food out of Ryder K's mouth.
Right. Don't want that.
I don't stand that.
No. Nah.
Stand away from me. That didn't work.
Ryder K to get some good Christmas presents.
Here's something I'm curious about, and we talked about this last week. The strategy of CT, let me just stay afloat, let me don't make me a hitman, like let me just like be with these weak people and I'll stay in Sapphire. Nelson mm-hmm. and Logan are like, we're Ruby till we die. That's not what you should be saying, right?
Mm-hmm. No, you should not. You should be saying, yeah, do the Amanda. I mean, the Amanda thing worked last week. Of threatening to come in and steal your spot in Emerald, but maybe it's again like Devin comes in. It's we're really undecided, blah blah blah. I don't think they were undecided at all, and this was all for show. That's what it seems like.
Did this? Or I don't want to ask you a leading question. I'll just tell you, this format, particularly this week, kind of made me miss like the tribunal format. Where the people in power, considering the fact that it's not a house vote and it's still just like six people, one team, the agency voting, I kind of miss a little bit the individual conversations where someone could really come in and say some shit and say like, I'll be with you or make deals. Like you kind of can't do that in the group format.
You can't at the nomination for ceremony, sure. But you seemingly could at the club, which we've seen before happen, and that way just cuts out the 95% of the time when the tribunals gives us meaningless stuff. So I'd rather just have it in the more drunken setting when people might be more sloppy than in the more formal business-like setting.
Fair, but I guess I'm just kind of getting bored of this setting too, but that's totally fair. All right, well, Corey goes off. We talked about this already. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was so interesting to me with the different approaches between Devin and Josh and talking and mitigating the harm with Corey when he gets voted in. And to me, it was a subtle difference. But like, Josh is the one with blood on his hands here. And I'm not saying he did the wrong thing, but just like he's the one who led the charge for Corey, at least from the edit we saw.
Yep.
The way that Devin is like, I wasn't in control. You think it's me, but you're wrong. Have you ever been wrong before? Maybe you could be wrong this time. And Josh is like, well, if you don't want to be mature and discuss, like almost Josh's argument is getting him out of having to discuss it. Whereas Devin's argument is trying to discuss it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess it's better to, if you want to get out of the argument, be the Josh, right? Just,
Oh, yeah. That to me is the way to go. It's like the textbook evidence that he's the guilty one. Because he's like, well, you're making it impossible for me to tell you what really happened. Whereas Corey's like, I'm trying to shout over the fence you put up. I'm sorry, Devin's, mm-hmm. I'm trying to shout over the fence you put up to like tell you what really happened. And then when Josh is like, well, you have no idea how hard it was for me not to make it about me. I was dying at that.
And it kind of plays to the kind of who each of them are as players. Devin that seemingly tries to like speak more logically and thoughtfully and plan his moves out, and Josh flies off the seat of his pants sometimes and acts emotionally. So kind of played out right here.
I think that's it till we get to the lair, right?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, Nelson apologized for I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
He was mean to Amanda a little bit.
Bad gameplay.
Yeah, I guess so. Nelson's been a lot worse, so he's okay. Elimination. Corey comes down, gives a impassioned speech, firing himself up. This is where he wants to be. This is what he plays for. And then he calls down Logan.
Yeah, that was so stupid. Oh, CT, it would be an honor to beat you. I'm not going to pick Nelson. But I'm going to pick the rookie. Okay. If he had picked CT or Kyle, I would have been like, he's an idiot. He's already going to be invited back if he wants to be invited back, although we'll talk about that.
I forgot about Kyle. Oh, I think I forgot about Kyle. My bad. I forget about him a lot, and I like him.
We've
like
never Kyle. Forgotten about him. What are you talking about? Let's forget that we forgot about him. This speech was a little much, but mm-hmm. I don't fault him for picking Kyle.
Logan.
Yes. Sorry, Logan. Right. I wish no,
Yeah, I guess so. It's probably the move. But I don't know. You could have picked CT. Just go for swing for the fences.
But he has nothing to prove. Like that, you know, like if you're Priscilla, you want to make that move and call out Ashley because you're going to punch your ticket back for the show. But if you're Corey and you've done this a million seasons and you'll always get that call and whatever, what is the motivation to, quote, swing for the fences?
I mean, I think for Corey's perspective, he has to recognize his own strengths and weaknesses and know he is not really built properly for a final with all the puzzles involved, and has to know to beat CT, you should probably just try to take him out one-on-one, take him out here. But like, even more, what does Corey have to prove? What does Corey have to prove other than trying to win? And his best chance of winning is taking out CT.
I think his best chance of winning is someone else has to take out CT.
Well, that's not happening. So.
But fair enough. I mean, this challenge was like sort of tug of war-ish. Less hard, maybe. Yeah,
a little Squid Game action. Roper bouncing on a giant ball cylinder type things.
Like the club from last season, the igloo. Yep.
And of course, to fit the crazy over the top, the rope was on fire, which added absolutely nothing, but we have to do it. And then one little nugget from that I don't think I even realized that they couldn't do this, but Corey on Bananas podcast said that you couldn't really pull on the rope, you can only swing it. I didn't even realize that they weren't pulling while it was happening, but I guess you couldn't like truly pull on the rope. I guess because the fire involved would probably make that kind of difference.
So again, form over substance, the theatrics ruined the challenge.
Right. Yeah, so the fire actually took away from, not added.
It definitely wasn't something that was going to benefit Corey here. I didn't really know who was favored. It was sort of like kind of even Steven. Logan whooped his butt.
Yeah, apparently the first round lasted a long time. I think it said 30 minutes was the how long it took the first one. I would guess the second one did not take nearly as long, as him and Corey was shot by the second one. But good for Logan. I mean, this was not just like a, you know, an arm stain. Like, he definitely needed his hamstring and his legs for balance and stability and everything. So he seems to be in pretty good shape. And he did a great job.
So then Logan wins. And then because I would have stayed Ruby strong, but my own teammate, who's no longer on the team, called me out. So I simply have to defect to a better team. But I can't go to Emerald, so I will replace Kyle and continue Emerald's domination of both teams.
So going back to your earlier point, maybe there was an extra layer about why. Is it possible Emerald, I mean, he got tossed in anyway, but did Emerald maybe go to Logan and was like, well, we won't vote you in, but if you win, you can't come here.
Yeah, maybe Josh like swung something around like that, like you gotta go to their team. I mean, it just to me is the dumbest decision from Logan. Team isn't strong, but yeah. Like, why keep this team intact that's been killing it?
Yeah, switch. How do you, for him, I get not wanting to maybe switch with Josh. You like Josh, you want to work with him, swap with Devin. It's like the most obvious thing. It really upgrades their team. Actually, I don't know. I mean, Devin probably does help them, but physically it helps them. I don't know. It's crazy that he would go to Sapphire, but based off, you know, maybe this edit, the show, how the team finals work, maybe it's all going to work out gravy for him, possibly. But it seems like a weird decision right now.
Priscilla, we miss you. Someone who would make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. At least a more fun decision, at the very least.
I mean, but the correct decision. There's no way Logan going to Sapphire and leaving Emerald intact is correct.
It could work out. I think it could work out.
But why not disrupt the winning, momentum-having team and maintain and be on an amazing team? and send a weaker person to Sapphire. Like, you're not going to strengthen Sapphire by replacing a Ruby, by replacing yourself with Devin. You're just not. Mm-hmm. The momentum is so low. Nelson and Devin are going to, I'm just beating my microphone now. Don't Nelson and Devin are going to suddenly get whipped into shape by each other. Like, no, forget it. Like, so you are with a great team. Sapphire remains the same with Kyle, mm-hmm. who's sort of like an iron weight. And then you're sending someone to Ruby, which is just whoever you send to Ruby is going to suck there.
Yeah. So we got two teams of four, one team of six now, right? 4-4
Yeah, I'm not feeling great.
Nope.
Beep, beep.
I was just, well, Corey's impassioned speech for Nelson.
Oh, we're still talking about Corey?
Yeah, it got me the feels. He wants him to win so bad. A little lie, but let him win a daily first. Let's root for that.
We got a question on Twitter that was about Corey. Like he said in his, like, I don't know if he said this in the after show because we both didn't watch the after show. I'm sorry. But I watched his like little interview on MTV.com and he said, like, mm-hmm. I think it would be better for me and my family if I took a few seasons off. And it was like,
right.
Do you believe it? And is this really just because he's not vaccinated?
Right. I mean, I can believe it both on both ends of the spectrum. Could it be because of that? Possibly. Could it just be he actually wants to take some time off? Possibly. I can believe all of it.
We've said this about Naughty in the past. I feel like we used to say this about Camilla, who's never going to be on again, hopefully. And, like, I've been a Corey fan. But, like, maybe he's right. Like, maybe it's just the same game. He's on the bottom half of the Veteran Alliance. He, like, can't make the end roads. So maybe it would be best, like, again, like a Naughty to, like, cut your losses, leave, and come back fresh. And, like, look, Nani's now in the best social position she's ever been in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's something to be said for that. But I'd be fine with it, but I'm also not, like, begging Corey for time off. I still enjoy him on my screen. Like, yeah, he wasn't even that vocal of a presence for a lot of the season. I think he popped up recently, but there was a good chunk of it where he kind of was more in the background. So, like, I haven't grown sick of Corey by any means. Obviously, I wish, you know, other beans he wouldn't get sick. But I didn't mind it this time around.
Making anti-vax fun. All right. Well, I already said the beeps. You only get one beep.
Okay. Then it's two. But yeah. So for this week, we had Corey gaining a point. Huge for our team. Losing the elimination.
Big did I have him or did you?
You have Corey.
I believe I picked him with the logic where, like, I'll be upset if he leaves, but I'll root. Like, I want to at least get something if the people I like leave. So,
yep. You had to choose between Corey, Fessy, and CT. And chose Corey, which I know.
Okay, Fessy, so take it away from me because that was the obvious choice. But
yes. So you get a point for Corey, and Scally lost the point for Logan's win. So it gives us the lead once again, 28-27.5. Getting down to the nitty gritty, down the stretch.
All right. Exciting stuff. We have no social media this week. Sorry, we weren't there.
One thing for that is not social media related, but CT, maybe this points to maybe him taking a season off or something. He's in talks.
Yes.
Playing, I don't know the exact role in it, but was it the Most Dangerous Game remake, something like that? I don't know if he's gonna be the hunter or the hunted. I don't know what he's gonna be doing in the role, but might be in a movie.
Yeah, he is going to, he's cast in the remake of The Most Dangerous Game. He will star opposite Oscar nominee Tom Berenger. This is from Entertainment Weekly. A lot of people tagged us in this, so thank you. And I guess we're gonna have to see it. Do you think, should we cover it? Should we do a special podcast?
I think we could do a one-off.
I mean,
it'll be like in three years.
We could be done with the podcast when this is out.
Yeah, I mean, this movie won't be released for like 3 years, so we'll be on episode 57 of Spies, Lies, and Allies.
It's so funny because, I mean, good for CT. Part of me, like, we're not clear, right, if, like, the All-Stars cast is if you make All Stars, if you're going to come back to the regular show, or if they're kind of going to invest in the new people and move all of the old people, not old, old, but like the OGs to All Stars. And CT really in this season is like the last bash. I know Anissa was on, but like, right? Anissa was on the season.
Yeah, she was.
She was with Logan. But like CT is like the last like remaining All-Star. And then someone like Ashley or Nani who could qualify for All-Stars based on like experience. I wonder if they're like resistant to go over there because they want to stay here.
I kind of think it's like, it's kind of like the Field of Dreams things. Once you step off the field into the gravel, you transform and there's no going back. Once you go to All-Stars, there should be no going back.
See, I think All-Stars should be a stepping stone. Like, where's Nehemiah? I think Nehemiah should be back on the regular show. Kellyanne could be back on the regular show.
Doesn't seem like that's going to happen. They're putting some people there. Did I see Sylvia was rumored to be on All-Stars 3? Like, what the hell? Sylvia? Wasn't she on, like, three seasons ago?
No, I feel like her last season was a long time ago.
Maybe.
I think when she, like, had the ball wrestling thing. Let's see. Right, wasn't she against Mel?
Wasn't that pretty recent?
I mean, it's not that long ago, but let's see. She was last on a cha-cha-cha. Everyone shouted out. Final Reckoning.
I used to, like, know. It's crazy because we cover each of these seasons, but I used to just be able to rip off, like, boom, 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 every channel season, like, in order.
Get the hell out of here. You never were able to do that.
Oh, well, I definitely could. Like, what's, like...
No,
like,
I'm sorry. Listeners who have been with us for seven seasons, and say with me, bullshit. Bullshit. Okay.
My point being, if you ask me to guess, like, what season came before Final Reckoning, I would have to list off, like, five different ones. I don't know. Was that World of Worlds 2? Was that 30-30?
I will ask you to guess how many seasons Sylvia's been on.
Four.
Three. She was on one of the last Real World seasons, so that wasn't a bad guess. Final Reckoning was the 32nd season.
32nd. Okay, so it was just
32nd. It was at the end of 2018.
Oh, that was a lifetime ago.
I mean, before you were married.
Yeah. Yeah, my 2-year anniversary was a few days ago.
We all celebrated in our own
also,
way.
I mean, it always brings me back, the 1-year anniversary, or maybe like the biggest troll PBS ever did, where on my anniversary she tweeted, "Happy 1 year since I met Al Asher," posted a photo of you and her, and then wrote, "Oh, also happy anniversary, Brian."
Please find that tweet and retweet it.
It is one of my, just an iconic moment in like Twitter history. Like, it needs to be like in a museum.
It's the second anniversary of my wedding. Oh, and also the first anniversary
of like my favorite tweet of all time. Drinking game for this week.
Amazing.
We had 11. One for Kyle Steeth. One for TJ wanting someone back. I kind of missed what he said to Corey. Did you happen to catch it? Not that I'm not doubting you, Kyle, but I'm just curious. I didn't happen to fully remember what he said.
I don't need to remember it because we have someone to keep track of this.
I trust him. I was just curious what exact wording he used. I do trust him. Not in Mafia, but I trust him here. Okay. One time someone talking about their kids. Shout out Ryder K. One time.
Now, you should really get a drink for each kid, but I'm no Brian Cohen, so I won't say that.
One challenge merch shown. Obviously one team infiltration, and then RIP to this rule, 5 times Corey and Nelson on camera together. Oh, and then also one time someone talking about the money use. Sorry.
11. When we were watching, I was like, oh, do we have that rule? I'm glad we have it.
It's a great rule.
All right, let's get out of here. This?
Okay. Yeah, perfect.
What do you think? I have ideas? It's late.
Definitely not. That's it, right? No more.
I'm turning dinner. Obviously, I've been subtly eating dinner the entire time we've been on here. And I don't want to hear about it. I'm just like, don't tweet me. Don't at me. I don't want to hear about it. I haven't been able to eat. And yet, I'm here. So delete my number. Delete my Twitter. Yeah, goodbye.
I wanted to do a challenge stats of the week, courtesy of Challenge Stats.
At Challenge Stats.
Where was the tweet I wanted to do? If I don't find it, I might have to save it for next week. Crap, which one was it? Okay, never mind. It's gone.
Wait, we won't know. You could just read another one. We don't know what you planned.
All right, fine. I will do this one. I'll do the most recent one. So Corey apparently had a good size elimination streak going. There have been only, where is it? There have only been four people. He won five in a row. There have only been four people to win six eliminations in a row. You want to guess any of them?
I couldn't honestly hear anything you just said. Say that again.
There have only been four people to win six eliminations in a row. Corey had five, but he just lost. So four won six in a row.
Okay. I didn't even know he had such a streak going.
Yeah.
I would guess Wes.
That's one.
Nelson's done well in eliminations, right?
That's two.
Brian.
One old school person and one like middle school, still kind of not really active anymore.
So two old school people.
Yeah, basically. One older and one middle.
At least one's got to be a woman.
Yes.
So like Laurel?
Yep. Three for three. Wow, this is incredible.
Give me a hint on the last one.
I think he's on the next season of All Stars.
Oh, Brad.
There you go.
I'm obviously reading it off of Talent Stats, Brian. Come on. I haven't named a single one of those.
I want to believe in Santa.
I mean, I was like, are you kidding me? How do you believe this?
This is so heartbreaking. Oh, my God. I was ready to give you such praise on my tweet tomorrow.
So I do so well in Mafia. I mean, come on. Of course I don't know that. Of course I don't know that.
Womp, womp. Well, there you go. Those are the four.
I did see that Challenge Stats tweeted about like getting so much traction about the Nelson tweet.
Yeah, he spit out his whole like algorithm, how he created it.
Ignorant. I didn't realize that this person was like doing their own stats. Yeah. Like, oh, maybe they're like Googling stats and tweeting them. No, this person is crunching the numbs.
Yeah, he did this whole coding thing. Pretty crazy. He does like stats, like I think I talked about last week, like about who's benching the most. I think
Do we know it's a man?
Yes. I think I saw in some variation he dropped the he.
He come out to you like of who he is?
No, I haven't seen.
Fine. Would you tell me?
Why would I not tell you?
What if he promised to make you not? What if it's Akiva and he was like, please don't tell me?
That was an interesting debate on New Girl Guy about you rat out your best friend for your girlfriend. Very tough one.
I was trying to think
of where I would land. I think I disagree with Akiva. I kind of agree. Like you have to give the guy like kind of like a deadline. Like you have like a week to like sell this out. Otherwise I have to tell. I think that's like the move.
Well, you could come on NGOG and hash this out with us anytime. But for now,
until then, you can subscribe here at robinswebsite.com/challenge. And you can follow me at @ColinBryan_. I can follow you.
And you can talk about me. You can follow me. You can talk about me. You can follow me at Last Tweets, but you can listen to me talking about New Girl with Akiva Whitaker, anchor.fm/newgirlguy. And you could catch me this week talking about the epic episode of Survivor on my favorite Survivor podcast, the Survivor B&B with Liana Boris and Mike Bloom.
Amazing. And we will be back here for episode 14 plus Challenge All-Stars premiere.
Oh God, I gotta watch that.
Yes, it's all that.
Please text me every day until then.
I was hoping you would do the same. Otherwise, maybe we'll talk about the premiere in 2 weeks. We'll find out. Until then, have a good one.